her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans. We
see. Have you seen the crowds at the Vatican?
Yeah, they haven't been that big.
Well, define that big. What are we thinking? NFL draft big? What are we thinking? Yes. 200,000 people big?
Yes. I mean, it's sporadic. It's not crazy. You thought it was big?
I think it's strange that there are people standing outside waiting for some smoke to be, you know, puff, puff, puff from the chimney. That's strange. I understand it's tradition and whatnot, but it's still bizarre.
The smoke?
Smoke. The smoke is the bizarre part. Yep.
Uh-huh. Well, I know Joshy's on my side. I think we should communicate more with smoke.
Listen, where was I yesterday where they were definitely communicating with smoke?
Smelling some pot. Oh.
Where was I yesterday where I was like,
burning leaves in May.
Woo.
Maybe here's the thing.
They communicate with smoke more than you think is what I'm trying to say.
Let me ask you guys. Are you big on the poppin? Are you big on the poppin?
No. Not a poppin fan.
You know what the poppin is?
Yeah.
Yeah. People just show up at your house randomly.
Yes.
No, it's a pastry. You put it in the toaster. You drop the toaster
down. Isn't that a popover?
Yeah. Why are those called popover? That's so dumb. Should be.
Those are pop tarts, I think.
I don't care. So back to the smoke. So at the lake house, people have a tendency to just pop in because we're kind of a central place. Everyone likes to hang.
Oh, so popular.
So
cool guy.
Our sign now is to put the bug screens down and enclose the back patio, and that says stay away. But it affects our view to the lake, which we don't like to do. Okay. Now, we thought about a light, but I really don't want to be associated with swingers, okay? Because there is a light for that. And there's a good story if you guys, well.
There's a light for that? I've heard of the flamingos and the upside-down pineapple.
Wait, what?
Uh-huh.
Yes, the upside-down pineapple
Where do you put it? In the yard?
Some people put it in their grocery cart when they're shopping, and they walk around with it, and it is supposed to signify that.
Well, here we go.
All sorts of things.
I've listened
there's
to
another,
some podcasts.
Like, there's a certain color blue light that if you turn it on wherever at your house means the party's on.
It's a swinger light.
You've never heard of that
I've
before?
I've never heard of this light at all.
So then Google this one because... And Frankie Winters told me this one. So at the lake house, we have... I have a huge white rock to mark the driveway, and I had... The kids' hands, when they were little, dipped in paint and put on the rock. Kind of cute, right?
Yeah.
So the handprints kind of faded off, so it's just a white rock. So Frankie was coming over for a week, and he goes, you know what that white rock means at the end of your driveway? I'm like, no. He's like, Google it. So I Google it, and I'm like, uh-uh. So then I went out there with 5 cans of spray paint and painted the rock the colors of each of the schools my kids went to.
Are you going to tell us what the white rock stood for?
Means you're swing bing.
What the heck? Swing bing?
Google it.
Swing bing?
So then Angie comes home, sees the rock, and is ripping mad at me.
You said.
Because she's nostalgic.
Frankie
no,
told me.
And she was like, why did you cover the handprints up? And I'm like, Google white rock, and you'll stop yelling at me. She's like, oh, okay, good move.
I got a lot of questions. I'm trying to hold them. I'm trying to, like, lock them up in my brain, but they're just going to come out. So, question one.
Yeah.
You think that your communication methods are known around the lake? You think that it is universally known at the lake that when your bug screens are down, it's not, you guys are not welcoming guests, but when the bug screens are up, you guys are welcoming guests. You believe this, yes?
Yes.
How did that become your mode of communication? How did that become your language of yes, come over, don't come over?
Because when the screens are down, there's no way to get into the patio where we're at.
Sure, but you said it blocks your view. So you're telling me that when you first started doing this, you didn't notice that it blocked your view and say maybe we should switch early on to something else?
Yeah, but I mean, can you tell people if white smoke's coming out of the fire pit, then don't come over?
How did you tell people about the screens?
They didn't.
They just...
That's what I'm saying. Okay. Yeah. This is the type of stuff. At least, here's the thing. With the Pope, we know. We know how the smoke is puff, puff, puffing, and then if it changes color, all of a sudden, boom, we got a new Pope. Like, that is universally known. You can't be out here talking a language that nobody knows what it means. So I think you got to establish with your lake goers what means parties on and what means parties off.
That's well, why I said smoke.
Yeah, but then I got to light the fire and it's just a lot of work.
That seems
there's got to be something similar.
That seems perfect in terms of, hey, if you see the bonfire going, now we're not doing the signaling with the smoke, but it is still somewhat of a smoke signal. If you see the bonfire going, pop on in. If it's not running, we're not welcoming guests. I think that's a good way to establish it.
Yeah, but I still want people over sometimes when it's crappy out, and I'm not going to have a fire if it's crappy. There's got to be a better signal. Can't be a light, can't be a rock, can't be the bug
screen. Why don't you just get a different colored light?
I think the light
is the
answer. How
about a flag? How about a flag?
Flag is a good one, too. Yes.
I got a flagpole right there.
Absolutely. This is the solution.
What sort of flag? Like just a margarita? You just
no. I got the American flag and then the Italian Angie's on top of the Pollock.
Okay, I don't know that we should be using heritage.
See,
and whatnot.
Well, I'm just saying.
But I like Josh's idea. You can buy cheapo flags with weird decals, weird logos on them anywhere. I like the margarita one. And then I like the, you know, we could come up like a porcupine or something that means, you know, stay away. Stop sign. I don't know. Easy peasy. But something where you just hoist it up the flagpole and then people
that
know.
Means, but if the flag's not there, then there's no party. So the porcupine wouldn't work. It'd have to be, give me a party flag. What's a party flag? Mardi Gras?
I mean, that's
there's got to be a Mardi Gras
flag. I said with the margarita, you could have, I mean, you could hang your favorite type of alcohol, like the branded flag. Like if you have one, like say, for instance, like a Drinking Buds, you could fly that flag. Like they have those type of flags that you could just, you just have to be on top of it to remove and put it back up every time you are welcoming guests or not.
I kind of like that.
First of all, you can have any flag made. You can have a personalized photo flag. So you could do anything.
Oh, the blammer.
Oh, that would be wonderful. The blamer, the picture I showed you?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to, on principle, say no, because I don't think any more people should be exposed to that photograph,
it
let
might
alone
serve as a deterrent.
The whole damn lake.
You know what I'm a little tired of? I'm a little tired of the rules this station has, because I want that out on the station X account or Twitter or whatever it is. And we also got news yesterday, which I can't tell anyone, which I think is just absolute garbage.
But we told you when
why
we told
so many
you that
rules?
You can't tell
I didn't
anyone.
Hear that part.
I definitely
hear that
heard
part.
That part. And in my mind, I go, it's not going to happen.
My first thought was maybe we should have just let him find out when everyone else does.
Yeah, I don't know why I was on the call. That was just, that's rookie move by Brian D. and Ashton.
Okay.
What are you doing?
So I'm looking here, and you can make a personalized house flag with any picture you want. Add your design here. Two, they've got sailboats. I mean, these are all ideas that you can. It's sailboat, sunset.
Jen.
Yeah.
The decision's already been made.
I was worried that was the case. You're
it's
gonna
already
put the blammer
made.
On a flag.
Of course I am. Why wouldn't I? And you know what? He would kind of like it. I mean, the man's had a drink named after him. You don't think he wants that picture flying high?
He's topless in the photograph.
I think his wife would feel about
too.
The flag.
He's bottomless, too, he said. Wait, can I just tell a quick topless story?
Sure.
Sure.
Is it in Dubuque? Does it have anything to do with Dubuque?
It doesn't. But yesterday, you guys, I went on a field trip to the museum. Tell me if you know where this is going.
No.
I've got the 4Kers, right? I got five 4Kers wandering around. We're wandering around the museum. We get up to Africa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, all the panoramas.
Yeah.
And the girls are like, why is everyone naked? I said, well, it's very hot in Africa. I said, you know how you like to wear your bathing suit in the summer because it's hot, you know? That's basically what they're doing in Africa. Those poor little girls saw more
boobies.
Genitals.
Boobies.
That's pretty sad. That
one little girl was like, "Why are they so pointy?" I was like, "I'm out. I got nothing here. I got nothing for you."
The good old days. National Geographic and the Sears catalog.
Sears catalog.
Oh, yeah. People my age know about the Sears catalog. Gosh, yeah, I'm just saying. We didn't have everything at our disposal that they do today.
The lingerie section.
All right, I need to pull something quick.
Yep.
Are husbands obligated to get their wives' Mother's Day presents?
Yeah.
Why? So, do we need to pull that?
Speaking of boobs, I saw a post on Instagram that said, "If my boobs have been in your mouth,
come on, I don't think we can say that."
I expect a Mother's Day present.
What does that have to do with Mother's Day? Although Angie does need a new strapless bra, she said. I wouldn't even know
what
where
mean,
to begin there.
What does it have to do? She's using it as criteria for who has to get her a present. So, yes.
This is
Josh, what's your vote?
Do you have to get your wife a Mother's Day gift? Yes.
Why? I don't understand why. She's not my mother.
She's the mother of your children.
Yeah, but I got my mother a gift already.
Yeah.
I just don't. I think you're going to have more people on my side than you think.
Don't think so.
I can't.
Because we were having this discussion last night at dinner because Father's Day is just an afterthought. Right?
I mean, for some families,
Josh, perhaps. Father's Day is not celebrated as hard as Mother's Day. Would you agree with that statement?
I don't know. I think it's the same.
I don't want to do this morning.
Why?
Because moms do a lot, dude.
Oh, I know. I have no problem with that. I don't even need a Father's Day.
You seem to have a problem.
He does. You're telling us how it's not equitable.
Well, it doesn't have to be. I don't know.
Like
I'm just saying because I'm like, what the hell do I get Angie for Mother's Day? And she's out on lawn trash, which I don't mind lawn trash. Lawn trash doesn't bother me.
What are you even talking about, lawn trash?
Josh.
I don't know.
You don't know what lawn
trash is? I imagine
just
things you put in the yard.
Like gnomes and concrete things
are
and
gnomes
bird baths
and, Mother's Day?
And lights that light up.
Oh, my goodness. We have people on the YouTube stream. Nick says, the husband gets something for their mother, not their wife. Nick,
thank
how
you.
Old are your children? If they're under 16, guess what? The gifts are going to, you know, be clay made from kindergarten or little flowers made of construction paper. Like, you got to get the mother something. You got to. This isn't even me as a mother being like, for
well,
all
hold on,
mothers.
Jen. Are you getting the mother something on behalf of the kids? So you're getting the mother something and saying, here, this is from Sally and Joey.
Wait. From
I'm just asking.
From the husband's side or the male side of it, the father's side, aren't you just saying thanks for all you do?
Correct. Yeah.
Seems pretty straightforward
Thank
to
you,
me.
Joshy.
So a card
and,
is
And the
sufficient?
Same happens on Father's Day.
Yeah.
It's reciprocal. I don't. Maybe you go to brunch more often?
I think it's like this household would not thrive
That's
without
true.
All of
it's,
the contributions
it's.
From you, comma,
very true.
Mother, wife.
Yes.
All right, I'll get her son. Jeez.
I mean, the thing is, you could give flowers.
Oh, my God. Don't even get me started on flowers.
No, she doesn't like flowers. She's anti-flowers.
Do you not like flowers either?
So my
I
rule
love
on flowers.
Flowers
is this. Do you think he wanted to know if you love flowers, too?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm already crying so much. My eyes are itching so bad. Is there a pollen thing happening right now? Because I am in trouble. Here's my thing with flowers. If you get your wife flowers, make sure that you cut the stems and put them in a vase. Do not hand your wife more work. By handing her a cellophane bag of flowers that you grabbed at the grocery store, right? Do the extra step of taking it out of the bag, snipping off the ends, filling the vase with water, putting it in the vase, put it on the counter.
I'm going to be honest. I knew that because I've been trained for that. But I think a lot of men, the first time they heard that they need to be cut is right there, right when you said that. Yeah. So that was a great PSA to some places you can go, though. And I mean, they'll just don't do the, and I don't want to discourage people from getting flowers, but go to a place that does it for their whole job. A florist. They can have a nice...
More expensive.
For their whole job.
Right.
What he's saying is not Walgreens.
Right.
Or CVS.
What about Amazon?
Flowers from Amazon?
Oh, I've done it before.
You can get flowers on Amazon?
No idea.
Yes. I just did it for a funeral.
Huh.
Yeah. Because they want like $110 if you go with the funeral home's florist. And I got them on Amazon for like $28. Now, granted, it's...
I'm glad.
I think it's the thought that counts.
Wait.
Right?
Let me ask you a question. Is it the thought that counts when you're the gift recipient?
See, then there's a problem.
Hold on. At what level would somebody's death be worth $110 versus only $28? How do you determine what type of flower to get?
Yeah, you're right. And it was my godfather.
Jeez. You couldn't spare a couple extra shekels for the guy?
I had to pull my contact lens out. It was killing me. Pulled it right out. Good Lord. Ouch. Now I can't see Joshy out of my left eye because I am absolutely blind, but it feels so much better. All right, we got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I'm glad we got to whip around a little bit. We started with the papal smoke. We got to a blammer flag, and now we're talking about it's the thought that counts, except when I'm receiving the gift.
We're all loose.
Jason Wilde coming up next. Let's talk to Jason Wilde right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm going to try to power through here, but I am playing injured. I am blind, just so everybody knows. If I don't have my contact lenses in or my glasses on, I cannot see. And y'all saw in the last segment, if you were watching on the YouTube stream, my left contact lens just started to like go haywire on me. I was laughing at Chewy. My eyes started to fill with tears and the rest is history. And now I can't see out of my left eye. You could argue, what do you need to see for to talk on the radio, Jen? Excellent point by you. But I'm trying to keep you posted here on the situation. Let's bring Jason Wilde in. I'm sure having another voice is going to help me get through this. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
Does this make you like Lisa Left Eye Lopez?
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Jen Left Eye Latta?
Exactly. It's exactly right. Might burn down a house later. Who can tell? Who can say? That was Andre Rison, right?
Would
that was his house?
Yes.
Yes, it was. Yes. Would it be Chewy's, Gabe's, or Josh's?
Well, it's not mine. I'll tell you that right now. I'm not going to burn down my own house. We were just talking about Mother's Day, Jason. Obviously, it's right around the corner. Hopefully, most guys have got their Mother's Day gifts procured, if you will. But we actually had some people who said that you don't have to buy your wife a Mother's Day gift because she's not your mother. Where do you stand on that?
I would disagree. Although, as our girls have gotten older, I've become more of a gift facilitator, helping them put together whatever like gift basket they each want to do for Paula. So I guess I'm a little bit in the middle, but back when they were little, I was definitely getting Paula Mother's Day gifts. I guess maybe sort of on their behalf, but I love Mother's Day, man. We always make her breakfast, and it's a big holiday in our house because we got a pretty good one.
Jason, what's going on with Jair? I've seen reports San Francisco's interested. I hear reports that they're close to getting a deal done. What's your gut telling you?
Yeah, I see those same reports. I've said this, I feel like, 1,000 times now. My feeling is that everybody needs a fresh start, and staying together for the kids is not necessarily the right move. I just don't see this as a happy marriage. And so, you know, if the Packers are like, well, we're not going to find anybody else, and Jair's going to be like, well, I'm not sure I'm going to find a better situation than this, and this one isn't that great, and they stay together for that reason, I don't love that. Now, you know, again, I can tell you without a tiny little piece of doubt that there was frustration in that building for a lot of people last year. This year had started off so well and was so different than 2023 with him. So I don't know how that just all goes away. Maybe it's convenience, maybe it's need, whatever it might be. I don't rule anything out at this point, but all along I felt like of the three options, trade. Uh-oh. Was the most likely scenario.
Sounds like we lost Jason.
Jason,
you're back.
I'm coming up on Sun Prairie. I don't know how you guys get up so early in the morning, by the way. I am struggling. Yes, Bristol. Apparently the Sun Prairie Bristol exit needs better reception.
Sounds like you're back.
I don't know what the last thing is that you heard, but the bottom line for me is if you're asking me which of the three scenarios is most likely, trade, release, or reconcile, I still believe it's release.
Jason, is there a timeline on this thing? I know that it feels like we are belaboring the Jair point, but man, if it could just get taken care of, I feel like it would relieve a lot of pressure. We're going to talk a little bit later in the show about what is the position that each team needs to address the most, or still needs to address, or is the biggest hole, or however you want to like designate it. And I think we're sort of debating between defensive line / edge and cornerback, in part because of the Jair situation. So do you see this getting resolved soon, or are we still a month out?
God, I hope so. Look, there's a reason why I asked LaFleur, you know, publicly, if Jair was taking part in the on-field work at the off-season program. And he acknowledged no. Now we'll see, does something like that change on Monday? I don't personally think so, because again, if they don't know if they want him on their team or not, they don't want him blown out his Achilles inside the Don Hutson Center, and then they're on the hook for his entire salary, and they don't have him on the team because he's out for the year. So, there should be a deadline, but if you're asking me what the true deadline would be, I would say when they report to training camp, right? Because by then they will have to have decided, okay, we definitely want him on the team, or we definitely don't, because we don't want to be having him report to training camp and telling him that he can't take part, or we would, you know, I think they I don't know this for certain, but I think they probably negotiated an agreement where they'll pay him his workout bonus even if he isn't actually working out during the off-season program. And if that's the case, then that's another sign of, well, we don't really know if we want you on the team, so we're just sort of going to leave you in limbo here. And this cannot go on forever, especially for someone who talks about this a lot. I hope it does not go on forever.
All right, Jason, this might be a little long-winded, and the questions might
be a little appreciate that.
Goofy. Okay. Carl Pickens, they trade him to Dallas. Is that more of a sign that Aaron Rodgers... What's his name?
George.
Jason, you know who I'm talking about.
I wasn't going to correct you.
Yes.
Carl Pickens.
Because he knew that we would.
Great player back in the day. Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
This is George Pickens. I don't believe he's any relation to Carl or Slim.
He looks like a Carl, though. He looks like a Carl.
He does look like a Carl.
He goes to Dallas. Is that more of a sign that Pittsburgh knows Rodgers is not coming, therefore they know they're not really going to be relevant this year? Let's dump guys who are going to be owed a, you know, a large amount of money. We're going to move on. They're not going to trade for Kirk Cousins because that's something the organization doesn't do. And there's a possibility that TJ Watt becomes available because they don't want to pay him if he holds out. And then my feeling is like, okay, you screwed up one time on the guy and took, who was the guy that hurt his foot out of Wisconsin, Jason?
Vince Beagle.
Vince Beagle. You took Beagle, you screwed up, you took the wrong guy. Now you can right the ship, and there's a chance that they trade to get him. What do you think about that theory?
I think there's a lot to unpack there, Carl.
Okay.
First of all, you know, I just, like, I understand George Pickens is very talented. I don't dispute that. Is he so incredibly talented that you're willing to put up with whatever drawbacks or diva behavior, whatever difficulty he creates? I don't know that you are. And anytime a team parts ways with a guy with as much talent as he has, I start to find myself wondering, well, what's the deal here, right? Why would these guys not want him on their team? Because if they're going to get Aaron Rodgers, I would think you'd want both DK Metcalf or Eric Metcalf, if we're using older player names for these guys, and Carl/George Pickens. And so the fact that they don't makes me wonder what the thought process is behind that, right? So my gut feeling is that they know that George Pickens would drive Aaron Rodgers bonkers. And that they decided, hey, we got him, DK Metcalf. We've got some other pieces. So I don't want to say that it makes it more likely that Rodgers is going there, but he just doesn't strike me as the detail-oriented Aaron Rodgers type of guy. When Aaron Rodgers did, earlier this offseason, work out in California with DK Metcalf, I just get the sense that this is a move that probably makes it more likely that they're getting Rodgers, and then less likely that, like, they're going to, I understand lots of GMs, including the one that I cover, don't want to pay third contracts, and they see risk involved in that, but I'm not sure that I would ever bet against any of the Watt brothers. So if I'm the Steelers, ultimately I just cave on that and say, okay, this may be a little risky given his advancing age, but we're not going to give away a potential Hall of Famer because we don't want to pay him a third contract.
Jason, what can you tell us about the Canadian quarterback? In addition to, how do you pronounce his last name?
Yeah, I don't know. I need to look that up. I've just written it. I haven't really talked about it much. Taylor, which is his first name. We got to watch out for those guys with two last names. I'll say this. He's a big dude. He does throw the ball. He's got a very live arm, as LaFleur said, and we got to see him do it. The problem is we watched him throw passes to Sean Mannion, the quarterback's coach, one of the equipment guys, who's one of the newer guys, so I don't know him, and into nets. So we never actually saw him throw a pass to Matthew Golden or Savion Williams. Never threw a pass to a guy running a route, like on the move. It was just all drill work. And, you know, I understand Matt LaFleur's reasoning. I'm not here to second-guess him. I'm just saying, from a reporter's standpoint, I would have at least a little bit more to go on if I had seen them in a football environment beyond individual drills. And that is all that Taylor, the Canadian quarterback, did during my time watching him.
El Gersma. I'm just not sure which direction to go with the G, but they're saying that he will be competing with Clifford, the big red dog. So we got the Canadian quarterback and we got the big red dog who will be competing for snaps, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, I would assume they plan on signing him. Now, here's the problem. He's got other opportunities. First of all, he'll be in Buffalo tomorrow because he's also been invited to try out at the Bills rookie camp. He was also a second-round pick in the Canadian Football League draft by the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, maybe? And so it's not like the Packers are his only option. And then there were 12 other teams that invited him to come to their rookie camps, and he picked Buffalo and Green Bay. So just because the Packers like him and would like to sign him, if I'm him, I'm keeping my options open and figuring out where I've got the best shot.
Taylor Elgersma was a...
Is that Mel?
Hey, Elgersma. Wait, was that me?
That is
that was AI.
That is a fella from 519 Sports Online who had Taylor on to announce where he was committing to college.
Elgersma.
Well,
is that what he said?
He kind of breezes through.
A highly coveted prospect from London, and he's Taylor Elgersma was a
Elgersma.
All right. You know how we're going to remember that, Chewy? He's the Canadian quarterback.
He's a pirate.
You got grizzly bears in Canada, yeah. And grizzly bears say grizzly. That's how I'm going to remember Gersma.
Okay.
All right, Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us and wading through the nonsense with us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yeah, I don't feel like I helped much, but thanks for having me.
Hey.
Jason, why are you going to Sun Prairie?
What?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm actually on my way to Rockford. We're doing a show from the Hard Rock Casino there. So I left my house at 5:15. And again, much respect to you guys. I don't know how you do it, but this is a long drive. And we're excited for a great partner, but it's a long drive. And it'll be a long drive home later today.
Jason Wilde, you can hear him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning. Thanks, Jason.
Let me try this again. Take care. Be good.
For your next night out, revel in the fusion and artistry and flavor with sushi at St. Kate, offering guests an elevated experience where freshness and creativity converge in every bite. St. Kate, the Arts Hotel, introduces the addition of a new, exciting sushi menu, and it's in its culinary repertoire. Indulge in the finest seafood, freshest ingredients, and expert craftsmanship for an inspired and delectable dining journey. Experience the art of sushi at St. Kate. You can learn more by going to stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So you mentioned Super Bowls and parties and how they don't go hand in hand, which again is an absurd comment by YouTube, but it's just one of many on the show.
Dumber thing that Chewy has said this morning. Super Bowls and parties don't go hand in hand, or cheddar is not a top 10 cheese.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. No Gabe today as he is competing in the Ringer, which is his 100 holes of golf for the Mac Fund, with Greg Matzik and Stephen Watson. So again, if you want to contribute to Gabe's efforts, you can text GOLF to the Carbless Talk and Text Line, GOLF, to 800-990-3776, and you will get a link to be able to contribute to his efforts. Very quickly, I just want to touch on what is being considered, deemed, I'm not sure, this breaking news, this new news. Again, I'm over-exaggerating here. But yesterday, ESPN.com put out an article on all the teams. NFL draft nuggets for every team's rookie class, executive reaction, draft room maneuvers, remaining needs. Well, they got none of that for the Green Bay Packers, by the way. Like, Green Bay Packers basically at this point are like a vault. They just don't have a lot of information going in or going out. But, of course, everybody wants to know what is going on with Jaire Alexander. So Chewy, the nugget in that article for the Green Bay Packers was The Packers passing on a cornerback for the first six rounds seems to signify that Jaire Alexander is staying with the team, barring a unique trade offer or a contractual stalemate. The Packers and Alexander are working on a resolution that should materialize soon. A revised contract for Alexander, due $17.5 million in cash this year, to balance his injury history with his longtime status as an elite corner, might be the most sensible play. Yeah, no kidding. Haven't they been trying to do that this whole time? Didn't we hear early on that Jaire had his heels dug in? That he was not interested in a pay cut? No kidding, a pay cut is the logical solution. But I guess I was under the impression, too, that it wasn't happening because Jaire wasn't willing to move off of what his deal currently gives him.
Well, I'm sure his agent tried to shop him. And, you know, they probably had a heart-to-heart and say, look, dude, no one's going to pay you more than $8-10 million base. They're willing to sign you with a big incentive package, but you aren't getting a lot guaranteed, and your number is going to be a lot less than that 17 whatever. I just don't see. I mean, the Packers in these situations are so lowbally, right? That's the only thing that I would be concerned about with him staying, you know. Or another team might say 10. Packers, I would, you know, I don't know what they're saying. 5, 6?
Let me ask you this, though, Chu. Is the lowballiness, which, what a word, the lowballiness warranted in this case? Like, I could definitely make a case for, hey, man, you haven't been on the field that much. And we don't feel like you have earned. You always talk about guys getting upset when other guys are stealing from the organization. Could you justify them saying, hey, we want you around, just not at the number that you're currently pulling?
With Jaire, he's in control, really, because in order for him to take less base money, you typically have to give him the opportunity to make more in incentives.
Sure.
Because I had the same thing in 2000 when I hurt my neck. They dropped my base to this, but in the end, if I played the entire season, I would have made more salary than I would have with the original contract. So they'll have to do something like that. It's just it's the starting point. Where do you start? You know? And then maybe he says, you know, his agent, if he's doing his job, saying, well, look, Minnesota will give you 10 in base salary and the opportunity to make 18 with incentives. So that's why I think other teams are involved. And it's a dance. It's just how bad do the Packers want him back? Put it this way. They are a much better team with Jaire if he plays 17 games. Right? That elevates them when it comes to the chance of making the Super Bowl. Do I think they get there with him? No, but I could certainly with him, if he plays the entire season, they would have a chance, but I see them as an NFC championship type team. Not saying they're going to win it, but I could see with him, them getting there.
What does your gut tell you, Chu, when you hear the word working on a resolution that should materialize soon? Because I got to be honest, my first reaction was not, oh, they're trying to come together on a deal. My first reaction was, resolution doesn't mean he's on the team. Joshy, what do you think? When you hear a resolution that should materialize soon, resolution doesn't mean he's necessarily going to be on the team.
Yeah, no, that's not how I took it at all. I took it as there's going to be a decision one way or the other with Jaire Alexander. I don't even know, and I don't want to question Jeremy Fowler's reporting. I think he's being told, like, sort of, we have been the entire offseason. Yeah, we're working on it. And there's the only deadline, really, is what, training camp? Because you don't want to be in a situation where he ends up showing up and, like, forcing the issue more. You'd prefer that to be done before you start having people around. And like, it just, I'm having a hard time figuring out what exactly could be the holdup other than pure stubbornness from Brian Gutekunst. Well, like, either you get the contract done or you don't. And if you don't, you release him. I know he's an asset, and he might come back to bite you if he plays well in 2025, but you've made the decision. You would rather move on. That's clear. Now, if you come to a resolution and he agrees to the contract, I think that's great. I'd love to have Jaire on here. I think the Packers are better. I think the Packers are better with him. But, like, bleeper get off the pot at some point.
And the, and couple that with the fact that they're not letting him. Are they letting him on property? I know, didn't LaFleur say we're not going to let him go through any of the camps or anything? That's not a positive, but I thought resolution was a positive and not a negative.
Well, but resolution is just conclusion, right? Yeah. Like, resolution means...
I could come to the resolution that, you know, I don't think you should be... I don't know where I'm going
to
go.
You don't want to be here anymore.
Like, well, to me, it sounds like this is the Packers' number. You can go out and shop it, try to beat it, you know?
Think about it this way, Chew. If you and a significant other were in conflict and you were coming to a resolution, resolution doesn't necessarily mean you stay together. Resolution could mean you guys decide that your differences are too grand, sure, and you go your separate ways. That's still a resolution, yeah, to the conflict. It's just, you know, you're no longer doing the thing together. Put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. This new report from Jeremy Fowler says the Packers and Alexander are working on a resolution that should materialize soon. Do you interpret resolution as Jair will be on the team, or do you interpret resolution as Jair will not be on the team? We'll put that on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. I am curious what everybody thinks. My gut tells me he still will not. My gut tells me you can't have a guy on your team who you don't trust, whether that's you don't trust him to be on the field when you think he can be on the field, whether it's you don't trust him to be able to handle things in a mature way, whatever the issues are. If you don't trust him, I think you find yourself better off without him than saying, well, maybe we can, you know, salvage, you know, X number of games at this percentage of play. I don't think he's going to be on the team. I think the resolution is him going somewhere else.
But the problem is, if you lose one of those three corners for the year, you're in soup, man. You're in soup. You're in some soup.
And we'll talk about that as the show goes on, because there's another article out there talking about what are the biggest holes for each of the teams. And you got to think that cornerback, given how they addressed it or didn't, is still one of them. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Go ahead and weigh in on that on our Twitter account. Joshy is putting that up as we speak. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He hates the ending of all comedies. Apparently doesn't like happy endings.
I love happy endings. Don't take it that far.
Oh, maybe, bueno.
Maybe that's a vote for Groundhog Day for you.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We've enjoyed having Professional Construction Inc. help us with our home projects. As you might know, my husband and I, we can only handle the little things around our house, and that's why we call PCI for the big things. Remodeling a basement, fixing a balcony. Heck, even when that woodpecker was putting holes in our siding, the team at PCI helped us through it. They can do the same for you. Mike and Michelle operate a family-owned company. They believe in building relationships, and they've been in business for more than 20 years, man. You don't get decades in an industry unless you're really good at your job. Learn more about PCI and see their work at professionalconstructioninc.com. That's professionalconstructioninc.com. Deal means he's on the team. Resolution means look how we put an end to this. Likely off the team, that says Allen in Milwaukee. Meanwhile, Steve in the 920 says, don't you have to take into consideration what was said before the word resolution was brought up? Sounds like Jeremy Fowler thinks they will keep him and he expects a resolution soon. I mean, I got to be honest with you. There just is a lot of like smoke and mirrors around this whole thing. There's just not a lot of transparency. And I think if I had to guess, they would prefer to get something for Jair, but it doesn't seem like that's going to materialize. And so, the Cat in the Hat said, I think they're going to have to move on. You know, again, maybe they will get him, Chewy, to agree to a lower number.
I just thought it was a positive the way it was worded. That's the way I looked at it. And I think it's a good thing.
If Jair's on the
team. I think it's a good thing. Yeah.
I will say this definitively. There has been, and it's seemingly from Jair's camp, a push to make it seem as if he's returning from the Packers. And I don't know if that is an accurate description of what's happening between him and the Packers, or they are trying to get the fan base to believe that they're closer than they actually are. So if he doesn't end up a Packer, it would then be beneficial towards Jair. Like it seems like there's posturing here is what's going on.
I don't think there's any posturing. I think the Packers gave him a number. It's non-negotiable. Whether he wants to take it, that's on him. But my guess is his agent is probably trying to shop it to other teams. Packers said, hey, we want a decision in 2 weeks.
I think that's fair.
Either take it or leave it.
I think your assessment of the situation is fair. I think it is possible that that's how it shakes out. They've given him a number and said, this is the best we can do. We want you on the team, but it's at this rate. Are you willing to do that? And to your point, Shu, maybe there are incentives locked in there. But you also had mentioned a few weeks ago that if he had a workout incentive in the contract that currently exists, they couldn't keep him from doing that, even though it seems like they might be keeping him from doing that, right? Wasn't there some there's a workout bonus in his contract?
$700,000, yeah.
But he hasn't gone in the past, so maybe they're leaning on that as, well, you haven't gone to the workouts in the past and collected the $700,000, so we just assume that you weren't going to do that this year.
I also think if you're looking to get a contract from the Packers, because you aren't going to do what Jair's doing right now if you don't think probably the most money you can make in 2025 is still with the Green Bay Packers. Like, you kind of have that conversation. Like, I won't come to workouts. I won't be a distraction. But I expect that money on the back end through, you know, some sort of other incentive.
Yeah, and if he continues the pattern that he's had over the last couple of years, they'll just cut him. They'll say, you know what, we rolled the dice, didn't work. Cut him. He made $6 million, and we're done with him. And I'm sure they're going to tell him that, you know. But he hasn't listened before. That's the problem. So, I mean, it's all about, is his talent worth the headache?
Is it? What do you think?
I think it is. I think it is. The fact that that position is a little depleted and you have an injury, they're done. You're done. If you lose two guys, which happens, you know, we see it with offensive linemen quite a bit. You lose two guys, pack your bags. Because that is probably, it's either two or three when it comes to most important positions on the team. Obviously, quarterback's one. So it's defensive line and then cornerback. And I would lean towards cornerback. You're done. You're done.
Well, that is a very good segue into our next segment, which was that the ESPN.com put out an article saying these are the biggest remaining roster holes. And they did pick one of those for Green Bay, Chew. We'll talk about that right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.